Invite you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with us to James chapter number 5. James chapter number 5 this morning. And while the message primarily this morning is geared towards fathers, it's also geared really just towards men and women in general, just as Christians in general. And I want to see a truth this morning that will help us in our walk with the Lord. James chapter 5, and I would direct your attention there to verses 17 and 18. James chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. The Bible says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I want you to notice that phrase there in verse number 17. The Bible says, and he, that's being Elias, prayed earnestly. And he prayed earnestly. For a few moments more, I'd like to preach us on this thought, Elijah's secret power. Elijah's secret power. Power. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this day. And now, Father, I just pray you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. May the words I speak be those of you and you alone. And may the message this morning be a help, a challenge, an encouragement to these your people. And Father, for all that you'll do, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory. We love you and we need you now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You know, over the years, I've found that there are really about 4 things that Satan does not want a Christian to do. He has already lost us from his grasps by us putting our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if he can get us to not do these 4 things, well, it was just as good as if he still had possession of us. And some of the things Satan doesn't want Christians to do, he doesn't certainly want us to pray. He does not want us to spend time in prayer with God. But not only that, he does not want us to read God's Word. He does not want us to read the Bible. Prayer, of course, is us talking to God. And our Bible reading is God speaking to us through his word. And Satan, he just doesn't want that. He doesn't want God speaking to us, and he doesn't want us speaking to God. He doesn't want us coming to church. He would rather us, you know, we wake up on a Sunday morning, and, you know, especially on a Sunday morning after you've worked all week, you've run errands all week, you've been busy all week. Usually, for the most part, Sunday is really the only day of rest a lot of folks have. And if Satan get us just to think, well, you know what, today I'm just going to sleep in. Today I'm just going to take it easy, and I'll get back to church next week. Well, let me tell you, that almost never works, because the first week you miss, that might be a little bit hard, but then you miss a second week, and then a third week, and then before you know it, it's just a whole lot easier to miss more than it is to go. And so he doesn't want us to go to church. But then the 4th thing I believe Satan doesn't want us to do is he doesn't want us to witness to the lost. He doesn't want us to share our faith with those who do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, because he still has them in their grasp. He still has them in his hands. And if he can keep them, that's exactly what he wants to do. And so he does not want us to take our faith and share them with a lost and dying world. Now, what I find interesting this morning about Elijah is Elijah, and sometimes we read, you know, these accounts in the Bible. We read of these great men in the Bible, read of these great women in the Bible, and we almost can become starstruck, if I can use that phrase, and think, man, they must be some type of Superman. They must be some type of Superwoman. They must be super spiritual. But the truth of the matter this morning is we find that Elijah was not a Superman. Notice what it says there in verse 17. The Bible says Elias, of course, that being Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. In other words, if you've been through it, then Elijah has been through it as well. He is subject to like passions as we are. In other words, this morning, Elijah, no doubt he faced jealousy. No doubt this morning he faced envy. No doubt this morning he faced malice. No doubt this morning he faced anger. He faced evil speaking. He faced temptation. He faced discouragement. He faced depression. He faced all of these things that you and I face. You know, sometimes we think, man, if I struggle with this, then in God's sight, I'm some type of a failure. In God's sight, I've let God down if I struggle with jealousy or if I struggle with anger, or as we've seen the last couple weeks, if I've struggled with bitterness, then somehow I let God down. But the truth of the matter is this morning, all it makes us is human. All it makes us is sinners saved by the grace of God. And the Bible tells us here that Elijah was subject to like passions as we are. And yes, no doubt, while he faced jealousy and envy and malice and evil speaking and anger and bitterness and discouragement and depression, and while no doubt he probably faced all of these things, he was also a man that had his strong points. He was a man that loved the people. He was a man that had great tenderness. He bore the dead son of the widow to his own room. He had great patience. He had a great zeal for God. Elijah in the Bible says, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts." You know, it reminds me a lot this morning of the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't it? You're there in James. Flip back, if you would, one book to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Now we think about supermen in the Bible. We think about those who are super spiritual. Well, it doesn't get any more of a superman or super spiritual than God himself come in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice something. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Or let's begin in verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, the end of the chapter. The Bible says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." But notice what it says. "But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." So here we find, just like Elijah was subject to like passions as we are, the Lord Jesus Christ, he understood what it meant to be human. He understood what it was like to be like you and me. The only difference is the end of verse 15, yet without sin. He was still the sinless Son of God. But even being the sinless Son of God, he still understood what we as humans go through and will go through. You see, he had to. Because if he never understood, we have the account in the Bible and the premise, the principle, that how could he possibly die for a people he didn't understand? And he understood just fine. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Folks, I'm thankful this morning that when we have a need, we have a God we can go to who not only can answer the need, but he understands the need. He gets the need. And so Elijah, was similar. He was a man subject to like passions, but he also had his strong points. He had that to tremendous energy, and he had courage. You realize he faced Ahab, he faced the prophet of Baal. He ridiculed 850 prophets of Jezebel. But all of these things are not what made him great. No, not at all. Look there again, James chapter 5 and verse 17. James chapter 5 and verse 17. You notice the phrase there, after a subject to like passions as we are, those four words there in the middle, and he prayed earnestly. And he prayed earnestly. You see, that morning, that was Elijah's secret. He prayed earnestly. And folks, if we're ever going to see God do a work in our life, in our church, in our home, in our families, we need to be a people that we pray earnestly. And notice what happens when Elijah prayed here. And he prayed earnestly. Notice what it says, that it might not rain. And notice what it didn't do. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. But then notice verse 18. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. There are several things this morning I believe we see from this account of Elijah. Number one, we see that he believed God. He believed God. He believed in his existence. He believed in his word. He believed in his purposes. He believed in God's ability, his ability and his willingness to guide. In Sunday school, the last several weeks, we've been looking at the story of Abraham, and we've been looking at the story of Sarah and Isaac, and the servant going to get the wife for Isaac. And that entire story, that entire account, is about great faith in a faithful God. That God, no matter what it is that we're going through, he is still faithful. And all he asks of us is to demonstrate that faith. If we were to take testimonies this morning and ask each of us to recall times in our life where God has been faithful in our life, I believe we could be here all day giving testimony of the goodness of God in our life, because when we stop to really think about it, God has been good in our life. God has been good to each one of us here this morning. He believed God, believed in his existence. He believed in his word. He believed in his purposes. He believed in God's ability and his willingness to guide. But not only did he believe God, we see secondly this morning, he kept right with God. He kept right with God. You see, the Bible tells us he received the righteousness which is in Jesus, as we all may have by faith. And now Elijah, he knew this morning that unconfessed sin would ruin prayer life. You see, there are too many apologetic overseeing and weakness in life. You see, we have no promise in Scripture that God will hear our prayers with open sin in our life. Go, if you would, Psalm chapter 66. Psalm chapter 66 this morning. Psalm chapter 66. And I would invite you to look there. At verses 18 through 20. Psalm 66, verse 18 through 20. The Bible says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart," in other words, if I have open sin in my life, "the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me." And so we see here that if we have iniquity in our heart, God will not hear our prayer. That's why, you know, when you hear somebody in the world say, well, I'll be praying for you. Listen, if they don't yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, God does not hear their prayers until they first come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then none of those prayers are heard except for first the prayer of repentance. But we see this morning that he believed God and that he kept right with God. He made sure this morning that he kept short sin accounts. And I say that because, listen, again, the Bible says Elias was a man subject to like passions. He still struggled with sin. And you and I, this side of heaven, we will still struggle with sin. We will still struggle with anger and envy and jealousy. And we will still struggle with all of these things. But praise the Lord, we can go to God and say, "Lord, I need forgiveness of A, B, and C. Lord, please forgive me." And the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He wants to forgive us this morning. All we have to do is ask him. And then thirdly this morning, we see not only did he believe God, not only did he stay right with God, but thirdly we see he obeyed God. He obeyed God. Take your Bibles and go to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. First Kings chapter 17 this morning. First Kings chapter 17. And notice there, if you would, verse number 1. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years." Remember back in James, the Bible says, "And he prayed earnestly that there would be no rain, and there was no rain." And now here it is, he's telling Ahab, "There shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." You remember verse 18, "And he prayed again, and there was rain." Verse number 2, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan." So here we see, God comes to Elijah, and he gives him a command. Get yourself east to the brook Cherith. Notice, if you would, verse number 9. Verse number 8. The Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee the Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." And so here we have it again, a second command of the Lord. First, get to the brook Cherith. Now, secondly, get thee to Zarephath. And now look there, 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse number 1. "And it came to pass, after many days, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." And then just notice, verse 2. "And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab." So here we have it in 1 Kings chapter 17, three different occasions. The Lord gives Elijah a command. And on three different occasions, we find Elijah, instead of building up excuses, he simply obeyed what God told him to do. Listen this morning, nobody here believes in salvation by grace more than I do. But I also believe that the Christian is to obey the Lord. The Christian is to be living a life that is worthy of the Lord. And so if God tells you to do something, then we need to just do it. We think about it this morning. God tells us to pray, then we ought to pray. He tells us to read our Bible, we ought to pray. He tells us to get to church, then we ought to get to church. He tells us to witness to a lost and dying world, then we ought to witness to a lost and dying world. He tells us, listen, even when you don't understand all of the circumstances of life around you, you can have faith and trust in me because I am a faithful God. Then we need to just have faith and trust in God because he is a faithful God. And we see here Elijah obeyed God. And then fourthly and finally, you can go back there, James chapter 5. Not only this morning do we see that Elijah believed God, stayed right with God, obeyed God. We see fourthly and finally this morning, Elijah prayed fervently. Elijah prayed fervently. Verses 17 and 18 again, James chapter 5. "Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. You know, we think in the Bible this morning about Abraham, who prayed likewise over Sodom, Moses over Israel, Elijah believing, and he prayed definitely for rain. He prayed for the widow's son. He prayed for fire. And all of these things came to pass. Folks, this morning, if we're ever going to see God do a work, we need to be a people that prays, but a people that prays fervently. That's why each week we give a prayer list on the back of the bulletin. So hopefully you take that between now and Wednesday and you go down that list and you get specific in your prayers. And you say, Lord, be with Martha. She goes in with her soldier. Lord, be with Don. Lord, be with Kathleen. Lord, be with, and name them by name. That's what Elijah did. He prayed for rain, and there was rain. You know, we have our missionaries back there. You know, instead of praying generically, Lord, bless all the missionaries. Go back, make a list of all the missionaries. And say, Lord, pray for Brother DeSantis and his family. Pray for Brother Walters and his family. Pray for Brother Way and his family. Pray for Brother Jody and his family. Pray for Brother... let's see, who do we got that back there? Brother Walters, Brother Way, Brother Ledbetter, pray for him. Pray for Brother Pete there in Delaware, even though we don't support him anymore. But pray for him. Pray for him by name. Look at the prayer letters. Pray for the needs that they listen there. Pray for those specifically. How about a little closer at home? You have somebody that you want to see know God. You have somebody you want to know, trust Jesus as their Savior, then pray for them by name. Pray for them specifically. You know somebody in your life that maybe they're dealing with something health-wise. Pray for them by name, health-wise. Maybe there's a need in their life that needs to be met that only God can meet. Pray for that need specifically. There's somebody that you want to see in church that needs to be in church. Pray for that name and pray for it specifically. That the Lord would work in their heart that they need to be here in church. Say, what's the importance of it all? Well, again, Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Folks, I want to encourage you this morning. There is help in your time of need. There is help when you need it most, and it's found in the place of prayer. That's how the Lord was able to do a work in Elijah's life. That was how the Lord was able to do a work in your life and in my life. It's through prayer. It's how the Lord does a work through our missionaries. It's how the Lord does a work in our churches. Listen, I'm all about having events and fellowships and get-togethers and programs and all the rest. But folks, there used to be a day and age where people came to church for the worship of God, the singing of the hymns, the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. And by the way, that's still what works today. Because you've heard me say it time and time again, what you draw them with is what you will have to keep doing in order to keep them. And listen, there are just certain things that this Bible says we cannot compromise on. And the Bible tells us in Isaiah that His Word will not return void. And so listen, if we're preaching this book, if we're teaching this book, If we're preaching this book and we're teaching truth according to the Word of God, and we're not compromising on doctrine and all the rest, then God is going to do a work. Because listen, this years ago, and I forget the name of the preacher, but he would be up preaching, and under the platform, under the pulpit, there would be a group of people from that church, and all they would do for the entire service is they would be down there praying that God would do a work in that service and in that meeting. And so you know, folks, you say, what's going to grow a church? What's going to grow a Christian? What's going to see people saved and souls saved and all the rest? It's not the programs and the plans and the promotions and all the rest. But what grows a church, what grows a Christian, what sees people saved and lives changed is a group of people who say, you know what, I'm going to fervently, earnestly pray. There's an old hymn by I think it was made popular by the Gaithers. How long has it been since you knelt by your bed? And how long has it been since you just took some time to just spend some serious time in prayer for fellow Christians, for people in your family, your friends, for your church? Because at the end of the day, that's what makes the difference. Prayer makes the difference. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together at our feet.